Welcome to the program for Monday, February 6, 2012 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today, examining consolidation and efficiencies at federal agencies. My guests for the hour today are experts in those fields, and we'll be talking about ways that your agency may be dealing with those issues if they're not already in the not-too-distant future. I want to introduce you first to Joanne Boutel. She's a partner with Deloitte & Touche and former Deputy Chief Financial Officer at the Department of Defense. Joanne, it's great to see you. Thank you for being with me today.
Thank you. Look forward to this.
And John Powers is a principal with Deloitte Consulting and joins us in the studio. John, good to see you. Thank you for coming in as well.
Thanks for having us.
Happy to be here today. Happy to do it. And thanks, both of you, for coming in this afternoon. The Commerce Department is already in the process of looking at how to streamline its operations. The details of that plan are posted on our website at federalnewsradio.com. Start with you, Joanne. The plan that the Commerce Department is using, would it be reasonable for us to figure that that is similar to what agencies across government should maybe be expecting, if not the detail, the breadth of it?
So I think the Commerce Department is if I understand right from what I've seen in the press, they're looking at the redundancies and the overlaps within their organization as well as across the others that are being consolidated. So that would be a normal process that you would expect them to go through to be able to identify where they can start identifying process eliminations, people that you know, they don't need two people doing the same job.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's the appropriate steps that they're going through.
Mm-hmm. John, the issue of duplication, redundancy, and so on, at least this time around, was kind of brought to the fore by the Government Accountability Office report. I guess it's been maybe a little bit over a year now, but that was more a collection than anything of work that they had done in the past that was put together into one main report. Do you think that will be a framework by which agencies can look at what they're doing? I've been surprised that there hasn't been as much action as folks anticipated when that report first came out.
Well, I think the short answer is yes. The report that the GAO put out, I think, lays out what you'd expect to find as classic symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So they've done a good job of documenting what is inherent in any organization. I don't think we should be surprised that we gave each of these agencies a mission. We gave them a mandate. We specified how they should operate, and then they built up infrastructure that they needed to deliver against that. And, of course, over time, some of that stuff ended up being duplicative, mm-hmm. redundant. And I think that's also not – I wouldn't be surprised by that either. You see that across the agencies. You see that in commercial. You'll see that in the military. So what the GAO has done is they've said – as you look at the buildup over time, which it looks like we have a lot of redundancies across. And this Commerce Department work specifically, I think, is even clearer in that there's a lot of overlap in mm-hmm. what these agencies were doing just because of over time they were added, missions changed, et cetera. So I think you could look at every single agency within the federal government. You could look at every military operation base, et cetera, and you are going to find that they're doing many similar things different in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we've done an integration in commercial, you take two companies, you looked at it, you're going to find that there's inherent opportunities in the company that's doing the acquiring, and then as you put them together, you find even greater opportunities. So
mm-hmm.
this is a classic set of symptoms that must exist across the government, I'm sure.
And one of the things that GAO pointed out in their report is that there may be, in some cases, a reasonable explanation and a business case for why two different organizations conduct the same operations. What are some of the hallmarks of those that you've seen in the commercial sector in a comparable setting?
Well, it might be the same activity, but for different kinds of people. So
mm-hmm.
there are cases in the commercial space, for example, in a pharmaceutical organization related to R&D. So it might be that two parts of the same company are taking research and doing it for a different kind of distant disease state, different kind of a problem they're trying to solve. So you
mm-hmm.
might look at what they're doing. One could be going after very small molecules. One could be going after different kinds of delivery mechanisms. So right there you have it. It says R&D.
Right.
Looks like it's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me flip that around. So I think there's a lot of reasons why it would look different. There's also a lot of reasons to think why it should be the same. So I'm going to go back to the R&D example.
Okay.
And you'll find this in the military as well. There's a lot of times when people are doing something like primary research in R&D and in for life sciences, where the actual work they're doing could be used by many different parts of the organization. And if you were to let each part do their own primary research, they might look at the same kinds of things over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning one would look at it while the other didn't know what the other one was doing.
Mm-hmm.
In the military, you'll find that if you've got people acquiring four different military systems, planes, whether it be missiles, et cetera, if they're doing it at different bases, they might actually think they need to source different parts, but they could actually get away with the same vendor, same part. So you'll also find that there's a good reason why they started doing it separately,
mm-hmm.
but there's probably good reasons to think it's worth looking at trying to do it in a similar way, at least for some of these base processes.
Mm-hmm. Joanne, one of the things that we have in the government sector that we don't have in a private sector environment, as John is talking about, is the 535-member board of directors on Capitol Hill that is overseeing the fact and in many cases has a vested interest in the fact that this organization in my district is conducting this operation that somebody else over here could maybe do just as well, if not more efficiently. We're going to talk a little bit about that later on in the hour with your colleague from Deloitte, Tom Davis, who, of course, has a little bit of experience with that kind of thing. But overall, how much does that become the 800-pound gorilla in the room where maybe you recognize within DOD that something doesn't need to be the way that it is, but you recognize also that the political efficacy of that ever happening is very limited?
I think that the government leaders, that is just a part of their thinking process. I know when I was the deputy CFO at DOD, there wasn't probably a time when I was making a decision that I didn't have a political aspect of that decision process.
Mm-hmm.
So you do think through whether or not this is something that the administration will buy into. You think through whether or not the leadership in the agency or the department will buy into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is normal. Now, what I found when I was there, I have one that comes to mind was as we were standing up the Business Management Modernization Program, the predecessor to BTA, which is no longer in existence, it was about consolidating systems. And I had companies coming in to see me to tell me why their system was the very best system,
mm-hmm.
and it should be the one that lived on.
Mm-hmm.
And I had letters that came in from their congressmen supporting that was probably the best system, and,
mm-hmm.
and I should really look hard at it. But I never had anyone try to force a decision. So they supported their constituents,
mm-hmm.
But they left it up to those of us in the department trying to run a program and make good decisions to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes doing the right thing is hard,
mm-hmm.
but I think if you look, you'll find that in most of these situations, the government leaders are trying to figure out the best way ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they do have to always think about whether they can get something something through the leadership or not.
Let's talk about that later on in the hour. I've mentioned that Tom Davis will join us, and we'll discuss that concept more when he's with us. We take our first break and continue in a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests on the program today, Joanne Boutel and John Powers of Deloitte, and we'll continue our conversation in just a moment.
The Financial Safari Radio Show features some of the best retirement planners from across the country and is your source for common sense approach to planning for a secure retirement in Northern Virginia. Contact the father-daughter retirement planning team of Don and Jill O'Rourke at 1-800-664-7505.
Tune in to the Financial Safari with the father-daughter team of Don and Jill O'Rourke, Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. right here on 1500 WFED.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Here's Colonel John Serdu, Military Deputy Chief, Combined Action Group, U.S. Cyber Command and NSA, on the Federal Executive Forum on Cybersecurity, sponsored by Lockheed Martin.
A more secure internet really means more privacy, more safety in your financial dealings, more safety in internet commerce. And so we can make cyberspace a safer, more secure environment, and we can do that without impinging on people's constitutional rights.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
It happens millions of times every day. Cyber attacks aimed at the networks that are the brains and backbone of every government program and military mission. At Lockheed Martin, we understand the importance of cybersecurity. That's why we build security into every system we develop and integrate. Assuring that our customers can carry out their missions without disruptions is all a question of how. And it is the how that makes all the difference. Lockheed Martin. We never forget who we're working for.
The Pentagon and Beyond is brought to you by EADS North America.
The stakes are growing, as are the sharp exchanges. Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei says Iran will retaliate over Western-backed oil sanctions and any threat of attack. He said that after Defense Secretary Leon Panetta was cited as saying he fears an Israeli strike against Iran as early as April. Khamenei's speech on Friday marked the anniversary of the 1979 Islamic Revolution. I'm J.J. Green.
We have a capsized boat, two people in the water.
Every day, EADS North America builds and supports helicopters for the Coast Guard, Army, National Guard, Navy, and Customs and Border Protection.
Rescue swimmer is in the water.
EADS delivers helicopters that save lives every day, including those bright orange Coast Guard helicopters you see patrolling our nation's capital.
We got them. We're heading back.
EADS North America. Commitment defines us.
Tom Temin here with a preview of tomorrow's Federal Drive. The new chief of naval research talks about his top priorities for keeping the Navy supplied with the latest technology. Plus, California Representative Dan Lundgren describes how the House is approaching cybersecurity and privacy in a comprehensive new bill. Those stories and much more tomorrow morning, starting at 6 on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. And for all the latest federal news, be sure to visit federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Joanne Boutel and John Powers of Deloitte are my guests this afternoon, and we're talking about eliminating redundancies and performing consolidations in federal agencies. John, Joanne was talking a few moments ago with me about the constituencies that are involved, and not just the people who members of Congress represent, but of course the members themselves and how you navigate through those. And during the break, we talked about something that maybe is a little bit of a misconception on my part, and that is the idea that the constituencies concept is dramatically different in the public sector than it is in the private sector. And you made a comment that that's not necessarily the case.
Well, I think it's different now. Mm-hmm. So I think your perspective is spot on, but I do see it. I'm seeing a change in the attitude now. I think your statement around Congress being the board of directors, so to speak, is a very apt description in the way that analogous to commercial. Now, if you think about that, then who's the owner?
Mm-hmm.
The owner's the taxpayer. We technically own the government. And the taxpayer or the owners are putting pressure on the government to think differently, to use our resources more productively. That's exactly what has happened in the commercial sector. And what pushes, especially when you're going through a restructuring or an integration, to look for efficiencies, to consolidate, simplify. So. Mm-hmm. What I've also seen is this pressure, which might be driven by the media, it might be driven by the political dynamic that is the age of the internet and people online all the time and exchanging information, is creating almost a momentum. So I've seen leaders in a lot of agencies and in the military taking the first steps towards proactively looking at what can I do or what would I'd like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So part of this is they want to take some of these efficiencies. They want to streamline, not just for cost savings. A lot of the times they want to do this for speed of decision making. They want to do this for the ability for control, more accountability. So I've seen people get the courage now based on a little bit of the push in some of these places. And Obama's push, a little bit of a push. I think Gates put a bit of a push. And now they're coming back with, well, here's what I'd like to do. And it's almost pressure back mm-hmm. on board of directors, Congress, to give them the permission to start taking the bold action. That's why I think there's a little bit of a shift in the dynamic right now.
Well, I have said on this program a number of times, Joanne, that I've been surprised that the administration hasn't been more aggressive about that, going to Congress and saying, this is our concept for making cuts or for consolidating or whatever. You tell us what you want, and there are a number of reasons why I think operationally that makes sense and politically that makes sense. Does that make sense from a structural or from a management perspective, from a business perspective?
You know, so my experience has been it's hard, whether you're talking the private sector or the public sector, it's very hard to look at what you're doing yourself and figure out where the non-value added parts are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how come usually you get an independent consultant mm-hmm. to come in and look. And I don't know whether the Commerce Department, whether that team has put together such, advisory services, if they have someone helping them or not. But that would be the next step. You would expect that there would be an analysis of what they're doing, what are the people doing across the different agencies that President Obama mentioned about consolidating, finding those redundancies, finding the technology that they'll need to be able to support this new vision they have, and laying out an implementation plan. You know, once they come up with how they're going to operate,
mm-hmm.
they need then an implementation plan to unplug the pieces they're unplugging and plug in the new pieces, and that has got to be very detailed, and it's got to be managed from the top.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something that can be delegated down. It must be managed, so you need leadership. And all of that takes time. Shouldn't take a lot of time because, again, as John has said, we do this on the private sector where they are usually forced with certain timelines to mm-hmm. get things done. So it can be done, but it will take someone within the leadership in the government getting up every day and thinking about this consolidation and it being front and center. And they're going to have the authority to make the changes that will end up on their plate. Otherwise, what will happen is if they fail in execution, the $3 billion that we've heard thrown out, the up to 2,000 jobs that will be eliminated, it will fall short of that,
mm-hmm.
and the results will be minimized because they'll start compromising along mm-hmm. the way.
Now, when you say time is involved in a process like that, but it doesn't take a lot of time. Can it be done in less than 2 years? Because that's the average life of a political appointee, and it sounds like the decisions that you're talking about would be primarily made at the political appointee level.
Right. So I happen to think it could be done in a matter of months of coming up with the plan mm-hmm. and executing it. Now, it might take several months then actually the execution of it. I don't know the complexity. I don't know what all they have to shut down
mm-hmm.
and the what they're taking apart. But I would say that a few months of actually getting in and understanding and then a few months of putting together the plan and
mm-hmm.
then you execute. But, John, you have a lot more experience doing this than I have.
Yeah, conceptually, is a two-year cycle reasonable? Because that's about one political appointee cycle in federal government.
Yeah, the two-year cycle is problematic, obviously, because it causes people to basically exit in the middle of one of these transitions.
Mm-hmm.
And these are it'll take you a long time to get all of the work done. But I think you could see, again, what the administration has done with this Commerce Department consolidation. I've seen the military do. But you break it into the stages. The first stage would be this top-down direction. That's critical. You pointed out, well, why hasn't more of this been done? I do think you need more administration top-down direction because
mm-hmm.
these agencies wouldn't naturally, without push, start looking at where do I overlap. It just wouldn't be a natural act. It isn't a natural act in the commercial environment to have two people that have formerly not been working together to start talking about, well, how can I consolidate?
Mm-hmm.
But if you can break that into chunks, which is first push for the plan, then there would be the basically push. Once you've got the plan, you would validate, and then you go through a stage of acceptance. And then acceptance, you go through a stage of, I'm going to call it, phasing the implementation. I think you can break these into two-year chunks, less than two-year chunks, because these plans could be done very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But it would take you some time to then get buy-in and commitment. And then you could have someone lined up basically to deliver that next cycle. But you have to keep that cycle connected to the actual civilians who are going to stay behind if you'll stay with this for the long term. So you might get political appointees rotating, but there's an infrastructure everywhere, military and in the agencies, that really is consistent. And if they are bought into this kind of a transformation, this kind of a chunking will easily survive a cycle of political appointees.
You know, my observation has been, though, if you don't get this the change put in place quickly, then others come in and start taking it apart or, again, compromising.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you saw both with the Business Transformation Agency and the Joint Forces Command, they moved fairly quickly on both of those when they divested of those organizations in the Department of Defense.
And that was the conversation that we had just as observers here in the newsroom was – the timeline is very aggressive because, and the theory was at least, that Secretary Gates wants to make sure that these happen. At the time, we didn't know that it would be Leon Panetta replacing him. And the theory was that, certainly not meaning it maliciously, just that a new secretary might have different priorities or might think that those particular operations should be kept as they were and maybe efficiencies found someplace else. Just a different agenda, not anything nefarious, but just... That speed was critical to make sure that those actually did get completed. And I think it's interesting that a lot of this is happening around defense because Secretary Gates's long tenure is really an anomaly in that kind of position. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll be joined by former Congressman Tom Davis, now with Deloitte. My guests in studio with me for the hour today, Joanne Boutelle and John Powers, both of Deloitte. We'll continue our conversation on streamlining the federal government in minutes on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
And now the Federal Living Report, brought to you by WEPA.
Miss that mass transit subsidy that expired at the end of last year? The government's biggest union wants it back, too. The National Treasury Employees Union is lobbying lawmakers to reinstate it, calling it critical to workers struggling in a down economy. Supportive lawmakers are calling for the benefit to be included in a payroll tax extension that's being negotiated now. But Utah Senator Orrin Hatch gave a reality check. He told Reuters that passage was unlikely before the November election.
Attention new federal employees. WEPA is currently offering up to $100,000 of life insurance on a guaranteed basis to those individuals within 180 days of their original federal hire date. No medical exam or physician's reports required. WEPA, a nonprofit association founded in 1943, provides life insurance at rates significantly less than the federal program. WEPA also offers premium refunds and a college scholarship program. Visit WAEPA.org to learn more. Once again, WAEPA.org.
Arma, your home security system gives you peace of mind, but are you paying $30, $40, $50 or more in monitoring fees? Switch to Ackerman Security Systems, the metro area's most trusted name in security, and pay just $18.95 a month. That's right, $18.95 a month, and no cost to switch. Don't have a system? Then Ackerman offers the latest technology, including wireless monitoring. Call by Wednesday and get 3 months of basic monitoring free when you switch or start service with Ackerman. Call 888-999-1070, AckermanSecurity.com.
Hi, this is O'Donna Matthews. What does 3 decades of service add up to? For the Capital Area Food Bank, it includes these important numbers. Distributing 25 million pounds of food to nearly 500,000 people through a network of 700 partner agencies. 30 years, it's a long time. But the mission continues to make sure that no one is left hungry. To learn more, contribute, or volunteer, visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit MyVillageGreen.com, listen to past shows, and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Enzymatic Therapy and Nordic Naturals.
The Midlife Heart Crisis. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Nicholas Garlow with HHS HealthBeat. Forget the shiny red car or the extreme makeover. The so-called midlife crisis may be all about your blood pressure. A study at the Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine reviewed blood pressure in 60,000 people ages 41 to 55. Narina Allen is the lead author.
Changes in blood pressure, particularly changes in early middle age, have a long-term effect on your cardiovascular risk.
Maintaining a healthy weight, eating right, and exercising help maintain low blood pressure as you get older.
Individuals who maintain low blood pressure had a much lower lifetime risk of cardiovascular disease, coronary heart disease, and stroke.
The study in the Journal of the American Heart Association was supported by the National Institutes of Health. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Nicholas Carlo.
With a $1.2 trillion cut to federal spending expected over the next decade, agencies need to consider more than individual programs. They have to dramatically change the way they do business. Join AFSCEA Bethesda February 24th at the Bethesda North Marriott for its annual federal budget preview. As a distinguished panel of CIOs, including Richard Spires, Roger Baker, Chris Smith, and Rob Carey, discuss what technologies and initiatives will continue to drive IT spending in 2013. Register today at afsceabethesda.org/febbreakfast.
Want the latest Department of Defense news? Listen every Wednesday for DoD Wednesday on Federal News Radio. Wednesday afternoons at 2, Federal News Radio DoD reporter Jared Serbu hosts On DoD, a discussion with senior managers about how the department meets its mission. Then stick around Wednesday afternoons at 3 when in-depth host Francis Rose brings you Pentagon Solutions, a deep dive into the issues and challenges of the defense community. All this plus our daily DoD updates at 40 past the hour, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest in studio today to talk about streamlining and consolidating federal agencies, Joanne Boutelle, a partner with Deloitte & Touche and former Deputy Chief Financial Officer at the Defense Department, and John Powers, a principal with Deloitte Consulting. And as promised, joining us on the phone for our conversation is former Congressman Tom Davis. He's the former chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and now with Deloitte. And Congressman, a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for being here today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Happy to do it. In the minutes before you joined us by phone, Joanne and John and I were talking about presenting to Congress, to someone serving in your former role, ideas for the consolidation, streamlining of agencies. What sells when it comes to the committees on both sides of the Hill? What does a plan look like that someone in a position of authority on the Hill would say, yeah, this will work, we can go along with this?
Well, what generally sells right now is saving money. I mean, Congress has dug themselves into such a deep deficit hole that when you put together consolidations that save money, I think that sells. But you also have to get around what I call the jurisdictional problems. And that is, for example, if you're moving small business from an independent agency into another agency, your small business committee and the groups that like that seat at the table start to complain about it. And so you've gotten into this whole jurisdictional morass of people who like having their own seat at the table and their own agency and don't like the consolidation. So you have to, those are kind of pitted against each other. But I think right now saving money wins.
We've seen this with an agency that's not even really trying yet to save money or consolidate, and that's the Homeland Security Department, the jurisdictional issue there, somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 to 100 committees and subcommittees that have jurisdiction over various parts of DHS, and that whole streamlining operation hasn't really gotten into full force yet, Congressman. Is that fair to say?
Well, it certainly hasn't on the Hill. You have a Homeland Security Committee on the Hill, but as you know, other committees take a piece of that jurisdiction away from it and have the ability to call agency directors before their committees. In the Senate, it's even more complex. So the congressional side is pretty dysfunctional. The agency side, though, there could still be more consolidation there, and the executive branch has that ability to do that. Homeland Security was the largest, what I would call, merger of agencies that you've had, I think, since FEMA. These have been very rare since they took away what's called presidential organizational authority from President Reagan back in the 1980s.
And Joanne, you touched on something that Congressman Davis just alluded to. You talked about it earlier, and that is the concept of the business case helping the agencies understand what they can do and what they can't do, what they need congressional approval to do. Talk about that process and then mesh it with what Congressman Davis is talking about.
Well, Tom, what I was saying is that there is a need to be looking at what the people are doing and what they're spending money on, what the processes are, so that you start identifying where the redundancies are, where the overlaps are, and then you figure out what should be eliminated so that you have the puts and the takes, and you build a business case that very clearly lays out so that the members on the Hill can see what they're talking about changing and eliminating and the impacts that this will have, so that they get a good story in front of them, the facts, you know, and that is what then they use to help make their decisions.
Well, Joanne, I think that's right. Look, things like shared savings, shared services, data consolidation, you don't need a lot of congressional action for agencies to do those things. If Congress doesn't like it, of course, they'd have the ability to overturn it. But I think the executive branch has the authority to make those changes subject to congressional funding. But when you start talking about merging agencies together and you start moving within agencies, different departments, you need congressional approval, and that's when it gets really dicey.
When it gets really dicey, Congressman, what do you do when you're at the agency and you're trying to put together something that you think it is a good business case, as Joanne's talking about, and yet has the potential? Say, for example, in your case, you're the chairman of the oversight committee, and someone presents you with a business plan that looks rock solid, except for the fact that it's going to impact a certain number of constituents in your district.
The first thing I look at is, where are the savings? Are these demonstrated savings, or are these savings that look good on paper, but after enactment, you don't get them? I mean, so many times agencies will come up with things that look good on paper, but by the time they're implemented, the savings just aren't there because Congress gets involved, the time frames go out, you give those soft landings to areas that they probably didn't need it, and all of a sudden your savings are illusory. So I think you want to, as a committee chairman, you want to show me the plan, show me the money that you're going to save. Then you have the political problem of having to deal with those constituencies that are used to dealing with one agency, that seeing all of a sudden it may have a different hierarchy and get nervous about their ability to control that. But that's more a political consideration. I think in these times, if you show the savings up front and you shed a little light on that and make your case, you're more likely to get it.
John, when we come back, I would like to talk about that a dollar saved is not necessarily a dollar saved. Congressman Davis, I appreciate you joining us this afternoon. Thanks for your insight.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being with you.
Tom Davis is now with Deloitte and one of the colleagues of my guests on the program this afternoon, Joanne Boutelle, a partner with Deloitte & Touche, former deputy CFO at the Defense Department, and John Powers, a principal with Deloitte Consulting. We'll continue our conversation in a moment on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
Federal pay and benefits are once again being debated in Congress. The House has passed a one-year extension to the current federal pay freeze, and Senate Republicans have introduced a bill to freeze federal pay and hiring in order to stop massive automatic defense cuts in 2013. FederalNewsRadio.com's pay and benefits page has the latest on congressional action affecting your pocketbook. Find it at FederalNewsRadio.com. Search term pay and benefits.
The Department of Defense faces some big changes in the coming years. I'm Federal News Radio's DoD reporter, Jared Serbu. We help you track those changes every Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 3 with On DoD. Each week, we'll talk one-on-one with defense experts and senior managers about the policies, programs, and innovations that affect warfighters and how the military will continue to meet its mission. That's On DoD, Wednesday afternoons at 2, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My thanks again to Congressman Tom Davis, former chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and now with Deloitte joining us to talk about the congressional perspective on streamlining and government operations and reducing operating costs. My guests in studio this afternoon, Joanne Boutelle and John Powers of Deloitte. And John, Congressman Davis made a comment that I thought was particularly interesting, and I must say I'm more skeptical than he is of the altruism of some of his the colleagues of his that are still in Congress. He said saving money is issue one right now. That part's not hard to understand. But the concept of savings, not all savings being the same, was something that I was wondering if you could expand on that idea a little bit more.
Sure. I'd break his answer down into two parts. So the first part is talking about savings and thinking about it in the context of actually making a pitch. I mean, you really need to think about the attractiveness of the consolidation restructuring that you're going to provide. And public companies do this all the time. The government needs to do this as well. Second part of that would be, now how do you take a dollar of identified savings and turn it into a dollar of realized savings? That's another concept that we need to talk about, because there's some ways to do that too. Let's first on the pitch. Just talking about how I'm going to take jobs out may hit the savings button, and that's important. But it's more important to talk about the sort of what your choices are and which problem do you want to have. Because if you have a mission which is changing, and Joanne and I were talking before we came in around how the missions are changing. We're talking about where were we in the mid-'80s when we started with the government. You know, Joanne started with the government. I was in the military. And you know, I was in the finance corps, and we were literally handwriting receipts out for people that were taking their trip. I mean, it was – computers have come by and made that obsolete. So would we want to preserve that job, or would we want to change what I do? And I think that's what we need to start talking about. So another good example is, would you rather preserve jobs in a district doing administration, doing accounting, or what if we could put more people in the patent office to look at applications so we could turn those patents, that IP, into real product for the U.S.? Now, that's a pretty hard thing to defend. I'd rather have these people doing accounts administration versus people analyzing IP. These are the balancing acts we need to think creatively about how to pitch. I think that makes it compelling, and I think that makes it hard for people to defend their positions. I'm not saying that they won't try to defend their constituents' position. They have to, but they got elected to. But if you make these pitches, they work. So, for example, it was put out by, I think it was the BBG, the Broadcasting Board of Governors, put out a plan related to how they want to think differently about the way they deploy their assets. And a lot of what they talk about is more about shifting what they do into a new age, so different distribution methods for their content, different methods to take content to people, and different places to take their content, refocus it. Now, at the expense of, they're doing translations in a lot of this in different places, so the same kinds of translations all over the world. Couldn't you consolidate that? So what they've done is they've traded. They're talking about trading one activity for a different activity that's of higher value. That's the pitch I think we have to get to, and I think these business cases can easily get there. I think they're there, and all we need to do is help the government think it through in that manner, then they'll get there.
What I'm missing in what you're talking about is where you find where you get smaller. If all we're doing is trading this amount of jobs for this amount of jobs, and even though the jobs that you're gaining are better, potentially better paying or higher skilled or whatever, where do you get smaller at some point?
Yeah, so this actually leads right into the realized as well. In the activity of figuring this out, the trade, what you're also doing is you're forcing a reprioritization of your mission, mm-hmm. which people should do because facts have changed, both our ability to spend and what we want to do in the future. So these things need to be reprioritized. Once you reprioritize, you create options for the people that are in charge to say, well, I can do this with this level of funding. And if you take away or you take my funding to X, well, then I will do this. I'll mm-hmm. go to Y. Just had a conversation with a general that's facing this very situation in his operation, and we talked about he has a plan that is actually going to take some jobs away, but the question was, well, what if they cut funding more? What options do you have at that point so you're not reacting? And he is going through looking at consolidating on the best efficiency within his operation. So he's consolidating three, and he's bringing a small number together. In that small number, the next step is not just to consolidate, which takes some costs out. Mm-hmm. It's actually converge onto the best method that you've used across. And again, anyone can do this. We do this in commercial all the time. Mm-hmm. That's another step function in efficiency. And that's where you really get big savings. So mm-hmm. what you're doing is you're creating options for people.
Yeah. That appears, we talked about Secretary Gates, Joanne, earlier in the program, and that appeared to be what he was trying to do. You mentioned with Joint Forces Command and some of the other efficiencies that Secretary Gates tried to create. Long term, what's the success pattern for making those stick once the efficiencies have already been achieved, that somebody doesn't come back and undo them? Somebody who maybe becomes a chairman of a committee and decides this was a pretty good idea the way it was before and has the authority to change it.
Well, so there's a couple things. One, if you don't fund it, mm-hmm. then they can't recreate it. Or if you watch what they're doing with the funding. So it comes down to leadership. Mm-hmm. And that's critical, that going forward, there has to still be an attention paid by the leadership and how they run these agencies. So if you think about what happened in DOD back in the early 90s, they stood up the Defense Information Systems Agency mm-hmm. and did a lot of consolidating of data centers and technology operations, and they made improvements over the years doing that. But what are we faced with right now? We're faced with a lot of homegrown data centers in DOD. Mm-hmm. So they do lose sight, and they do let them crop back up. And, you know, you can start with something small and continue to grow it into something big, because it's nice to be in control and to be able to direct and have your operations doing what you want. But only through leadership would that type of action gets stopped, mm-hmm. and that would be like, no, we don't do it that way. We're using a shared service mm-hmm. environment. So that happens. I use that as an example, but that happens over and over and over. So it is going to take leadership. It's going to take staying on top of the funding mm-hmm. to make this work in the long run.
Now, if you don't mind, just add to that, because I think this is a key point. So if you want to make these things stick, the reality is you need the people that they're in essence being done to actually want to stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the people in an organization A are more efficient and B think it's a better way to do a certain activity, they're going to be less likely to want to support change.
Yeah.
So the way to solve that is, again, just like in commercial, we try to move people to a new environment where the people that are in the new environment see it as being a better way to operate.
Mm-hmm.
You do that through visibility. Visibility is creating metrics that show you how much more productive you are, and also by changing the content of the work to make it more interesting and actually more value added for the individuals doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds fairly mundane, but it actually makes it much more difficult to unstick something, because the people in the system don't want it to unstick now. Now they're bought in and they're committed. And that has to go with speed and visibility, which is the key to making these things move once you've committed to do it.
We just have a few minutes left, and when we come back for our final segment, I'd like to talk more about maybe at a broader level something that we've touched on in each of the segments so far, and that is the conversation about mission. And in many cases, agencies will be looking at shrinking mission, not just people and budget. And so that decision-making process is something I'd like to get into a little bit as we wrap up on Federal News Radio 1500. AM back in just a few minutes with Joanne Boutel and John Powers of Deloitte on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Navy Rear Admiral Retired Elizabeth A. Height, Vice President, U.S. Public Sector Cybersecurity Practice, HP Enterprise Services, on the Cybersecurity Combating Threats to Our Software Environment panel, sponsored by Hewlett-Packard.
Look at what the National Defense Authorization Act, signed last January, has required the Department of Defense to do, and that is require the department to implement software security assurance capabilities for both deployed software and that software that is being delivered.
Could your IT security have made you less secure? Traditional IT security defenses, firewalls, encryption, and intrusion detection systems are extremely effective, and that's the problem. They're so good that the bad guys are now training their sights on a new target: exploitable vulnerabilities in software applications. HP can help governments secure mission-critical applications by designing security in from the beginning, finding the vulnerabilities inside existing software, and fixing them quickly and cost-effectively. To learn more, visit federalnewsradio.com/HP.
Are you a loyal credit card user and your only reward is a high interest rate? Looking for a provider you can trust? With a State Department Federal Credit Union credit card, you'll not only earn reward points, but you'll also have one of the lowest credit card rates around. With a low rate and no hidden fees, you'll enjoy all the benefits of owning a credit card without the high cost to you. Plus, earn one reward point for every dollar you spend. Points can be redeemed for travel, dining, appliances, and more. Call 1-800-296-8882 or visit sdfcu.org to learn more. Unlock the rewards today.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Please join me this week for my special guest, Todd Feldman of Core Financial Advisory, who's going to tell us about certified financial planning and his special buckets of investment. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
America's top show about planning for retirement is on 1500 AM WFED. Sunday mornings at 8, it's the Financial Safari. Each week, America's income planner, Coach Pete DeRuda, sits down with father-daughter duo from Northern Virginia, retirement planners Don and Jill O'Rourke from O'Rourke Asset Management. Sunday mornings at 8, it's the Financial Safari on 1500 AM WFED.
Your new Cocker Spaniel is waiting to meet you, and you don't have to travel very far. This weekend and almost every weekend, Oldies But Goodies Cocker Spaniel Rescue holds at least one adoption show in the greater D.C. area. Find out where we'll be this weekend by checking out CockerSpanielRescue.com. Stop by to meet the many homeless Cockers of all ages who are looking for their new home. These dogs have already been spayed or neutered and have all their shots. For more information on adoption, fostering, or volunteering, visit CockerSpanielRescue.com.
You're listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Joanne Boutel and John Powers of Deloitte, my guests this hour. And we're talking about streamlining federal government operations and the consequences for reducing costs. And one of the things we were talking about during the break is what the conversation sounds like when you go into somebody and you understand that they're open to the idea, and we recognize we have to consolidate, we have to save money, we have to do all these things. But where does that conversation start? Does it literally start, John, with an inventory? Here's everything that we do, every mission that we have, and trying to prioritize it, or is there some other way that that works?
It's a little different. It is sort of an inventory, but we usually start with a conversation that goes over, we call it the operating model. So we start by asking the leader or leaders, all right, so what is your operating model today? Towards what end are you trying to drive that model? That model is, what's your strategy, what's your funding for that strategy, and essentially sort of where do you deploy that strategy? And what you almost invariably start to uncover as you go through this is, so how long has this model been in place, and is it fresh or is it stale? And in your mind, as a leader, I mean, do you think this is solid, or do you think it needs to vary with new conditions?
Mm-hmm.
And almost everyone will get into a dialogue about, well, I have thought about this needs to change, but I haven't had time to get to it, or we're thinking of engaging in a thought process because we'd like to be here and we don't have enough money to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That usually leads to the second conversation, which is, okay, now let's do a deeper analysis of your priorities and where you've allocated your money and why you've allocated it that way. And usually it's based on historical norms.
Mm-hmm.
And you get them in a conversation around, well, if the mission needs to change, why would you keep the distribution the same?
Mm-hmm.
And that usually leads to I wouldn't, and we'll build a future state. So if you want to be here, let's talk about optimal distribution of how would you have your work done. Now, that's a very conceptual conversation,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't require a lot of analysis or deep deep data to get there, because you don't want to go too deep until you've had laid out that there's a change, there's a shift in big buckets, and then you can start to think about where that you'd focus in on where there's big change. Because not everything in the organization changes.
Joanne, John was talking about a future model. Why do you think it is that federal agencies – well, maybe I'm framing the question unfairly. Is it the case that federal agencies struggle to visualize that future model? And if so, why do you think that's hard for them to do?
Well, yeah, I think that it's unique to the individuals, but part of it is that they're trying to keep the mission up and running. So I do think having someone who can bring in some experience that where they've seen other things helps. If I've done the same thing the same way all the time, sometimes it's hard to open up one's mind and envision something else.
Mm-hmm.
So having that broader experience base at the table is good. So I think that I think what John said is probably the right steps. And then I think comparing what they're doing to what their authorities are, I think we often find that they've expanded and gone beyond their authorities where some other part of the government is supposed to be doing certain things. So it's a whole process.
We're almost out of time, and I wonder if there's anything that we haven't talked about today pertinent to this subject, Joanne, that you want to throw in as maybe the seed for another conversation on this subject.
You know, I think the one thing that still comes to my mind is an architect, that there needs to be an architect that puts together the business processes, whether you're talking for the Department of Defense or you're talking for other aspects, and build that out so that there is a one source of the truth that you go to and say, this is how we're supposed to operate, and then you maintain that architecture.
John, any final thoughts? You're nodding your head as Joanne is speaking there.
Yeah, the only thing I'd add is I think you could do an entire hour show on how do you make it stick.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of people think it's really hard and difficult. I think there's a lot of methods that you could deploy here that really make this work.